Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What up, everybody? B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. JP just rolling in. Traffic was crazy today, Jay. And you know what? I've been on somewhat of a worldwide tour myself, an East Coast tour. We're going to break down a little bit about Nats today. I want to get into a talk about Tyrese Haliburton. When does it lay on the team, the medical staff, to protect players from themselves? Because what he said last night or whatever, about he would do it again, I 100,000% agree with him. But I also believe that there's a time and place where teams and doctors got to protect that player from himself. Because players always are going to try to go out there and support their team. But when they are in a position to hurt themselves, you got to protect them. Kevin Durant, same situation.
Calf strain.
When he had that strain, a strain, everybody out there, I want y'all to listen to one thing. A strain is a slight tear. People have been saying it's been happening for years. We hear strain, we think, oh, it ain't, that's not serious. It's a slight tear. Tyrese had a strain on game 5. And then
you saw it look bad that game.
And then he comes back. If you look at the plays, I actually thought they were running the replay when it happened, dog. I did
from the other game?
Yeah, from the other game.
Because it was in OKC, too.
Then you go back and you're like, oh, hell. And you just have to keep replaying it. And I understand if a player say, I'm not going to play, fans are not mature enough or intelligent enough to understand the seriousness of some injuries. And you'll never let the player down. But if the team do it, you'll let him down. Jay Cutler, Chicago Bears pull him out the game. The narrative was that Jay Cutler came out. Jay Cutler never lived that down.
Well, I mean, in this city, if you want to talk about protecting a player, now granted, he kept saying he was okay, but you think about Robert, you go back to that.
Yeah. He didn't let the doctor check him out, though.
It just took the eye test to see the dude shouldn't be playing.
Hell yeah.
I mean, especially in the Seattle game.
I think it's a good conversation and would love to, whether it's late on in the show, whatever, to give fans take. Like, I know we want our stars to play at all times, but as a former player, I'm going to tell you one thing. You are never too hurt to where you will not want to play. Never.
Sure.
But if your team just say your ass is not playing, you have no choice. And yes, Tyrese Haliburton played well in game 5. He sat in spots. He didn't really try to take it. When he tried to make that move, when they start putting that pressure on him, that's how he got hurt in the first game. Now, when it comes down to it, you're going to pay him about whatever he's making, $40 million next year or whenever, however long it takes him to come back, you know? And I will say this, Kevin Durant is still an astronomical player. But Kevin Durant hasn't been Kevin Durant since that Achilles tear.
No.
Most players are not themselves after the Achilles tear. So if I can allow a guy to completely heal and then come back, I think you have to try it out. So that this is where they always tell.
But is it not different? I hear what you're saying, and I think there's a time to protect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But does game 7 of the finals not change?
I don't give a damn what time it is. See, that's the problem. That's a fan talk right there.
But I'm asking the question, and I think for players, they're willing to push through more
I'm not talking about the player. I just stated players are always going to want to play. There's not an injury big enough for a player not to play. When do the people that claim they're the smart ones, they're the intelligent ones, step in and protect that player from himself?
That's the question I'm asking. It's kind of an age-old question, too.
I'm not asking about the player because if that player had a tear and said he wasn't going to play, no fan will let him live it down. But if the team say we're not letting him play, eventually they get over that.
And you don't think that should change when you get that close to a title?
No. Okay, if the guy is that valuable to you, what difference does it make?
Flags fly forever.
Flags fly forever, but guess what, though? When you try to make flags fly, make them fly, they don't fly. So he...
The other part of it to me, I don't think the Pacers were winning that game.
That's where
I'm at. The Thunder went... Now, granted, it was when Halliburton was out, but they made a little change in the third quarter defensively. T.J. McConnell is a ball of energy, mm-hmm. but they made a tweak to let him kind of get more out of control, and then they started turning it over
so
like crazy.
He started creating and making points and stuff like that, and let's say one thing. That's not what Halliburton does. Halliburton sits and shoots. So once they extended the defense out to him, he couldn't sit and shoot set shots, his little jump, whatever you call it. He couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Now he has to make plays, and you already have an injury that can influence it.
Yeah.
So I was just sitting there yesterday talking with somebody about it, and I was like, you know what? This is something I would love to ask. It's not about the player. I never would tell a player, oh, yeah, man, just say you're not. No. This is about we claim that medicine is so much better today, that the field of medicine is so much more technical. They could digest and pick up stuff so much clearer than they did in the past. So why are there so much more injuries happening today?
So what do you say then? I think it was Oladipo that said this, and we talked about this yesterday, that they need to limit the amount of regular season games because these guys are just too big and strong to run around like this. I mean, pace of games is up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to that notion? To me, it's laughable because they're all doing load management anyway.
What I say is the mindset of people today, younger people today, is always try to get more for less. Because, no, I don't believe that they're so much bigger, stronger, and faster. Ain't nobody in playing football today faster than Darryl Green. There's nobody playing football today probably more powerful than what the damn Reggie White was. And that's not a return man out there that's bigger than I was and running like I was. So I don't – listen, man, you could say what you want. All those dudes that played before you ran as fast, were as strong, and as big. There's not nobody in the league stronger than Jumpy Gathers today, okay? But those dudes played with mediocre, at best, equipment.
Sure.
They played with straight trash equipment.
And
they were playing with trash cleats. And guess what they did? They played every damn game, and many of them didn't miss none.
And they didn't have nearly the tools and chirotherapy. Like, all these recovery things didn't exist either.
You know what I believe? I believe that when you're in these professions, your body has to be put through a test to know how much you can get out of it. And a lot of times, many people don't train themselves to the point where they know what the hell their bodies can do. Baseball now, if you're a pitcher, you pitch 6 innings tops and they pull you out.
If you're a pitcher now, you usually have Tommy John by 19.
Yeah, but you 5-6 innings of pitching.
Right.
There were guys back in the day pitching doubleheaders, okay? They make you become a specialist in now every sport at one thing, which does one thing. It enhances the muscles that you need for that job, and it doesn't allow the rest of them to catch up with it. So when guys were young back when I was growing up and before me, they played every damn sport. They didn't just play baseball year-round, basketball year-round, football, that's all they did. They did every sport. So you get a fully developed person. When you're talking to a little kid today and they're getting going into college, what do you tell them? Like when they get ready out of college to write a resume, you don't want to just have academic prowess. You want to be able to come out of college and say, I could deal with people with social issues. I could deal with a lot of people. I was in these different groups. I was smart. If you could say you played a sport, that'd be even extra. Because when that guy goes to hire you, he wants a well-rounded person more than just a one guy could do just one thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is part of the problem. And you know who's that part? That's when the damn doctors come in the professional level where they want guys to only do one thing. And they limit the amount of stuff they could do. Why the hell people think that I was able to do what I was able to do? Because you know what? I pushed myself to limits in the offseason. I hear people now, guys get breaks in minicamp. in OTAs. That's 2-3 days. Okay?
It's usually 4 on, 1 off.
But they get breaks even in OTAs.
Right.
Some of them go one day, don't do the next. So when they finally get to football during the way it's set up today, and I'm not knocking any player for anything, but it's like I'm knocking the people that make decisions that feel like, oh, if we make everything easier for them, when they get into full competition, this is going to be better. No, you get into full competition, now you're trying to stretch yourself and do stuff that you haven't been doing. That's when injuries pop up. And if you just do the same thing over and over and over and over again, you know what you do in that situation? You wear out your muscles, your joints, your ligaments, whatever. So it just, yes, technology has gotten better, but are we being hamstrung by technology and forgetting that? And I know this is a movie, but I use this all the time. Drago had all the machines.
Oh, yeah.
Rocky was running around with a damn telephone pole and running the sand and punching meat. And Rocky beat his ass. Yes, I know this is how things are. But you know what I could compare that to? I knew the guys that looked like Tony Atlas that were taking the little pink baby aspirin-looking things, which are steroids. And I knew every time we got in competition, I bust that ass. And everybody else that was the hard worker bust their ass. They lost. They looked good. They looked the part. But they could not perform the part because they did it the shortcut way. So guys got to get back into doing what they could do the old school way. And use the other stuff to help you out. But don't forget the old school way.
B shot out of a cannon today on Halliburton. I like it, man.
I watched the kid, and I know Jeff truly loves him, and I felt sorry for him because that was kind of foreshadowed. Jeff was just stating. He said he saw him shooting it, and he said, man, but somebody going to make him have to make a move. And when he had to make the move, what happened? You know? Hey, man, you got to push through some things. You got to find different ways. But sometimes, if that guy is important, show that importance all the time, not just in certain situations.
I'm with you, man. I want to get people up to speed on where all you've been because I get people asking me. I'm like, nobody has a motor like B. Mitch. So last Thursday, we were off work. We were down in Richmond to play Kinlock.
Yeah. That's how I was on an East Coast worldwide tour.
So you drove down to Richmond. You drive back to MGM that night. This is Thursday night.
Yeah.
Friday morning, how early are you on the bike?
I am at the place around 4:20. I got on the bike around 4:30-something, but we decided to back off until 5 because I didn't want to leave out with 300 people at that early in the morning because it's dark.
Dark, and yeah.
I'm not trying to hit the asphalt.
So now, what, did you let people go up in front of you,
yeah,
you're saying?
Yeah, okay. But let me hit you with one thing, Jay. So we get downstairs at the hotel, and I realize I don't have my bike shoes.
This is Friday morning?
Friday morning. So you know those red, white, and blue Nikes I wear?
Yeah.
I had the first 33.6 miles.
You weren't
miles,
clipped in?
I wasn't clipped in. I had on my bike, my basketball, basically, shoes.
Those like Air Maxes you
yeah,
wear.
I yeah. rode those for 33.6 miles. Then Tony met us.
Hold on. Now, does your bike pedals have like the cage to put your foot in? Or
no,
is
no,
it
no.
just clips?
It's just the clips, but it's like it's flat.
Right.
So it's basically about.
It's slippery as hell.
It's about this big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I rode, and we averaged about 19, 20 miles per hour while doing that.
So then Tony met you in
Annapolis?
So he Annapolis?
Met us in Annapolis. He had picked up some shoes
Tony
from
Tally?
From Mark's
Love
house.
Love Tony.
And then the left clip wouldn't clip in. So for the next 30-something miles, I ride with a right foot clipped in, and the left one wouldn't clip in. It kept coming out. So I had to make sure I could lift on my right foot to push with the left. And then finally, I just asked the dude. They had there's people from the bike lane. I said, do you all have any
clips? What do you wear, 11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, y'all have any clips? He said, yeah. I could put two new clips on. So he puts the new clips on. So now from that 60-something mile point to the 109, I was clipped in at that point.
So you rode over half of the bike to the beach without at least one clip.
Without being properly clipped.
All right. So that's nuts in and of itself.
But it was fun.
So then you get to the beach.
Yeah.
You have to drive back that night?
That day.
Or someone drove back?
Yeah. So what we did, we hung around for a little bit because they had a beer festival at Lockport. And I met Duber's dad.
Oh, he's funny.
I met him.
Great dude.
I said, yeah, I do a show with JP. Oh, I know exactly who you are.
So I bet he knew who you were without mentioning a show with me, bro.
So we did that, and then we went to eat. This is a little tidbit. There was a 12-year-old kid that I saw at the second stop where we were at Centerville Elementary School. 12-year-old kid, he was basically on a Huffy. This 12-year-old kid did that whole 109-mile ride.
Wow.
Because we were sitting out eating, and I said, yo, look, the kid was coming up. His dad said he wanted to do it. This kid did 109 miles on like a little BMX bike, though.
Wow.
He's a trooper. But then we left there. I got me and Mark stopped in Bowie because Mark has a friend with a food truck. We got some catfish. And some catfish. Seafood salad and macaroni and cheese. And then I dropped Mark back at the MGM. I went home. And I was
dropping. What time did you get home?
I got home about 11, nah, something, okay. 12. I dropped off my car that morning, the rental car that morning at 6. Right. And then I had to fly out of Nashville because my Dulles flight kept getting delayed. I was on my way to Atlanta for a wedding.
Right.
So I left Dulles at 8:50 something, got to Atlanta around 10 something. And the wedding was at 5.
All right. And then you fly back Sunday?
Flew back Sunday night.
Yesterday you were at Woodmore?
Yesterday I was in the Commanders had a golf tournament with some, I guess what you call it,
season tickets or something like that.
And I played in that. I'm here today.
How'd you play? You have to be gassed, dude.
We played 7 under. No, I get my rest, dog. Like, I'll take a nap. An hour nap for me is like 6 hours sleep for somebody else.
I've seen you do it.
Yeah,
doesn't matter where. I've seen you do it.
Yep. So it was fun, but it was fun. And I will just say this here. Thank you, Ben. Ben works with Bike to the Beach for moving it from August 2nd to June 20th.
You guys actually had pretty nice weather that day.
Yeah, it was 80-something degrees. Yeah. It was 99.
You imagine you were biking to the beach today?
Yeah, but August 2nd last year, it was 99 degrees at 4:30 in the morning.
Golly.
Yeah.
So your son-in-law, Deshaun, posted. So you were at Ray Brown's daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
Looked like a lovely affair.
But outstanding affair.
Jeff always jokes about two Americas, right?
Uh-huh.
And Deshaun posted a video. Now, this might be a younger people thing, or it might be a two Americas thing. Deshaun posted a video of everybody on the dance floor doing a dance. And it looked like 100 people on the dance floor.
It was a Florida dance.
Everybody knew the dance.
Yeah.
I have never seen that dance in my entire life.
Which one was it? Was it the Florida dance or was it just Sierra? Because I know they were all dancing to the Sierra thing.
I don't. Jeff's dealing with stuff.
Jeff, what song was it? What?
Did you see the video Deshaun posted on? B. Mitch's son-in-law Deshaun posted a video on his Instagram story of everybody doing this dance at Ray's daughter's wedding.
It was either the song with Sierra sings and they do their, her little. When I think about you, whatever the song.
Oh, Tamia.
Tamia.
Tamia sings it.
That song, or it was they were doing this Florida dance song.
It's this, whatever this was. I don't know if you could see it, Jeff. But, Jeff, I don't know if this is me being old or me being old and white. I have never seen this dance in my entire life. This joint right here.
Do they got fans in their hands? Where them fans at?
Let me see.
This might be a fraternity sorority thing. He now has a caption in there that I missed. It alphas and K's.
Yeah, they strolling, bro.
I'm telling you, I was watching this mesmerized. Like, how does everybody know this? And I have zero capacity for this.
I am about to send this clip to all of my Greek friends.
This is a cap thing. Yeah. This is a fraud. Yeah.
The other one, though, was a dance.
He's a.
BJ
is an A5A. And so Miriam
this,
is
this
an
was just a dance. This wasn't a sorority fraternity thing. And again,
that's probably
I got nothing.
Tamir. Yeah.
You know, I assume the drinks were flowing. My dumb ass would have been out there trying to do
you
it.
You would have been.
It would have looked like a disaster.
Bro, they had. Let me see. It was about 7-8 bars.
All right. So I was at the beach this weekend too. I drove a car. I did not ride it.
Uh-huh.
And Monty from Starboard, of course, gave me a little gift package. I think you will like this hat. This hat looks like you.
Yeah.
You like white hats. It's a sharp hat.
I'm aware.
Tomorrow. I don't know that Jeff can fit this joint, but doesn't this shirt look like Jeff all
it look
over
like
it?
Me.
You want it?
It's what yours. Size is it?
It seems to be really big. It's a large. But it's all orange crushes. I think you'll love it.
Yeah.
And then we'll see
this
if
won't
Jeff
fit Jeff. Jeff will look like
Jeff, you want this t-shirt from Starboard?
He'll look like a stripper in this shirt.
Why would I look like a stripper in that shirt?
Because it'd be super tight. Like, you know, they wear the
don't
little
strippers
shirts,
take their clothes
like
off? Jeff, you can have this one if you want it, buddy. B took the polo shirt I thought you'd like. All right, we're just getting warmed up. There's plenty to discuss. Really good win for the Nats last night in San Diego. James Wood just keeps doing James Wood things. All of a sudden, Nathaniel Lowe's absolutely on fire. Got to catch up on the Nats. There's some Commander stuff I do want to discuss. The Sheehan thing from yesterday is kind of going nuts about the uniform stuff. Josh Harris has said we want to get our uniforms back to what they used to look like. So sometimes the content cycle just like goes nuts for stuff that's already been said. But I do think there's one really, really interesting thing involved in all that. Kime's going to join us. Nate's going to join us. It's going to be a big, busy day. Anybody out on those roads, man, good luck. Here's what I thought of today. You know, John Leahy is a friend of ours. And there are days in the D.C. area where it is 102 degrees. You can't open your phone without getting alerts about a heat warning. I don't really know why to open my phone I need a heat warning. But
I had this conversation yesterday on the golf course with a guy that grew up in Louisiana. And so, we both said we never heard of heat warnings until we moved here.
Well, here's all I'm saying. If you're driving around D.C. today and you get heat warnings nonstop and the traffic's god-awful, you might be thinking about selling your house, moving somewhere else. And if you want to do it, call John Leahy.
Yep, just like a recent seller, they were thrilled to receive an offer, which was $20,000 over the asking price for their Silver Spring property. Everything went smoothly. There was no stress, no setbacks, and the sale closed right on time. The client had previously been told by another agent that he wouldn't be able to make any profit at all, but he ended up earning exactly what he wanted. Who says there are no guarantees in life? Check out John Leahy's guaranteed offer right there on his website. You can get the ball rolling at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our good friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time. Nobody else does that.
Well, and I think some of the things John does to help you sell your house, to get you over the finish line, really differentiate from other realtors. If, say, you know you're sitting on some equity, but you know your kitchen's just a little dated. And say you put a new fridge, a new range, new dishwasher in. You get the stainless steel that everybody wants. What's that going to cost you? 10 grand? I don't know.
Maybe more.
Eight, maybe 12, depending on what you're looking at. Talk to John. Because if you talk to John, he can front you that cash. So you don't have to come out of pocket to buy all the new appliances. And then you just settle up on the back end at closing. And if you do work like that before you go to market, the return, the ROI on that is 2 or 3X. Things like that make a huge difference with John. He'll front you up to 50 grand if you and he could decide it's going to make us a lot more money selling this thing. It only takes a few seconds. Check out his website. You can find out the equity. You can get an instant cash offer. He's a differentiator in the market, man. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We don't die.
B. Mitchell Finley, yes, 1067 The Fan. This is really, really cool. B got a copy of this book. If you're looking on the stream, I'll show it to you. I'm also going to tweet this out. This book is called RFK All Access, and it's a book of photos compiled from RFK Stadium during the golden era of the Washington Redskins when RFK bumped and the team won Super Bowls. Scott Cunningham is the author and the photographer. Scott, what's up, man? This book is incredible.
Hey, thanks, JP. There's a great way to show how much fun that era was to me. I have all these pictures. I've never had a chance to do anything. I've had other books and other sports, but this is probably the greatest thing that I ever have done and will do just because of the love for the Redskins. And I've got the follow-up coming in color in a few months, but the black and white was just from a certain time frame. The color is going to cover the whole era, but I can't wait to see what kind of reaction that gets, because it was all it's an art book too.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a photography, but it's about process. You know, taking your own film, processing your own film, scanning it yourself, and then putting it on a computer and laying it out was probably, I think I have to go into rehab. It was so much fun.
Well, Scott, I tell you this, man. I was looking through it last night, and I texted him on the text thread we have for the show. And I was like, man, I was looking through this book, and I can remember exact moments of those pictures. And, you know, sometimes you can relive the conversations you were having when certain things happen. So I appreciate it, man. I thank you for putting that together.
Oh, you're welcome, Brian. It was a pleasure to watch the Swiss Army Knife. Let me just tell you, this guy needs to be in the Hall of Fame. We know it's not. It's the time is it may have passed. I don't know what those rules are.
2028 Veterans Committee.
2028. Okay. Well, I'll get on the phone here in a little while.
Yeah, dude.
But anyway, no, that was such a great period of time. That era, I don't know, 82 to 92. I think this group can match it, though. I think this group, you know, especially off what you're coming off of last year, I think Washington football's back. It's great. You know, there's nothing better than that place when it was shaken. And maybe the new stadium they'll put in there and put some loose seats so we can get it shaken again.
Let's hope so.
When you were putting this book on, and you start hearing all the information that the team possibly moving back to D.C., RFK coming back, you know, how did that make you feel?
I loved it. Loved it. I know I blast Sean up at the commander's PR department. I said, man, you got to go back to the hole. You got to go back in that hole. He got tired of hearing me say it. But I just was like, that is just the only place for that stadium to be.
Yeah.
You know,
let's hope
I can't wait to see what they do around it.
Yeah,
because that area, I don't know where they're going to put it. You know, out in the river somewhere, but it's going to be awesome. I can't imagine that view that they used to show of RFK when you'd have all the statues in line and at night game, and you can see the stadium lit up. I can't wait to see what this stadium's going to look like lit up like that. And it's going to be a proud moment for us Blue Bloods.
Talking to Scott Cunningham, author of a new book called RFK All Access. I mean, this has got to be, what, 500-600 pages of photos?
It's 392
okay.
pages, and there's about 500 pictures in there. And they're all, I would say 99% are from black and white. I had to fill in some color negative shots to tell a story, but a certain story, but I like the layout just because you don't have to. I didn't have to say anything. I just let the pictures do the talking.
Oh yeah.
A start out from Jack Kent Cook down through the coaches, and then lead into each individual player. Actually, I went into.
I'm holding up various pictures for all the people watching on the stream. Russ Grimm, after a game, wearing he's in his game pads, but his. Everybody always wears a shirt under their shoulder pads and says, I'm having a Maalox moment.
Well, the game, the cold game, I think Ernest had, what, 39 carries, 147 yards. I was looking at it, and Chris said, man, I was at that game, 1990, November? November 1990, yeah. Something like December, yeah.
That was the worst game, Doc, weather game I've ever been around.
Doc, as a reporter.
Joe Howard Johnson, that's who he was interviewing.
Scott, there's so many incredible moments, right? Are there certain photos that stand out to you the most?
A lot of them, yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. Now that I think of it, I don't know. I don't know. I get a kick out of the ones with the posse. Those guys always gave me good pictures.
Yeah. When is the book coming out for the public consumption?
I would say in about a week. It's available now on the website, www.rfkallaccess.com.
Very cool, man. The picture.
And it'll be in stores soon. Working on a network. I hope that Carter Machinery, a new sponsor, will get involved. They're a great company. My dad was involved with them back all the way to the 50s. So
wow.
I'm hoping that Carter Machinery gets some good publicity out of that, because my father was one of the founders of that company, and I'm really proud of it.
All right.
This is so cool. I mean, there's pictures in here of Darryl Green making serious tackles. Everybody always thinks of the speed, but he was.
Yeah, he was a headhunter, wasn't he?
He does look like George. He's coming in high on all these hits. Look.
Yeah.
George Atkinson stuff. You know, I never thought of him like George Atkinson, but I guess he is.
Yep.
Yo,
oh, yeah. D Green.
Look at this. D Green with George Bush Sr. at the White House. You were there too.
Darryl got a hot dog fade.
Yeah, sure does.
Did you go to the White House, Brian?
Yeah, after we won the Super Bowl, yes.
What did they serve you?
Well, I know what they served Bush.
I can't remember what we had.
It was beer. Do you remember him throwing horseshoes?
He was good at horseshoes,
I went with,
right?
Reagan.
It was Bush.
That was Bush. That was Bush. Yeah. It was Ricky.
Bush and Art Monk and Ricky were playing, and I think Bush got a little tipsy that day.
I like it.
We had a good time.
I like him now.
All right. So the website is rfkallaccess.com. A ton of photos from Scott Cunningham from a decade of being inside the locker room as the Skins went to 4 Super Bowls in 9 years. What an incredible run. Scott, thank you for the time, bro. Really appreciate it,
Scott.
Thank you. I can't wait to see the Washington football come back and make us forget this last bunch of crap we had to put up with.
Hey, whole new world, everybody.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, man. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
This book is incredible, dude. I see why you were so into it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to tweet this out so folks can find it. I'll put it on Facebook, too. Nobody go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
067 the fan. A lot going on in the world. B, I don't know that you and I got to talk about this yet, and I did want to do it quickly. Did you see the Micah Parsons, Kevin Durant conversation from Fanatics Fest? Where Parsons said, I only ride with DQ, and KD said, I bet you're playing in Washington in 2 years.
Wow.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
Because Jerry is like, long as I'm living, it ain't happening.
Right. Jerry likes to wait a long time before he pays people, but he tends to pay people.
Yeah, he does.
But it was fun. It was a cool conversation. I also thought, I'm sure you saw it over the weekend, how cool was it that Jaden was on stage with Joe Montana and Dan Marino?
That was cool. That was cool as hell. What the coolest of the whole weekend was that Josh paid $500,000 for Jaden rookie card. Know what that means? It only goes up.
Sure.
So
I
it only goes up.
I find it the state of cards to me is kind of wild.
It's back. It's been coming back, dog.
I know. But what blows my mind with that is that, like, I could understand if you told me a Lamar Jackson rookie card now was worth $500K. Because uh-huh. Lamar's been in the league a while now.
Yeah.
He's won, I don't know, two or three MVPs. Like, I'm just blown away that Jaden's only going into his second year and a rookie card is worth $500K.
Yeah,
and people tell me it's one of one.
Yeah, but this is what happened.
Couldn't we just make one then?
Well, no.
B. Mitchell Finley, one of one Jaden Daniels rookie card.
Yeah, but if you had one and someone spent that money for it, it's just like being a first-round draft pick and a seventh-round draft pick. Your salary starts at different places. And the guy that gets drafted in the first round, let's say he's going to another team later on, you're not going to make less than you made in that first contract, right? So that guy that got drafted in the seventh round, when he goes to sign a new deal, for the most part, his new deal is not going to jump up there where the first rounder is.
Yeah.
So it's where it starts. And if let's be real, it's just like anything else. Going out there and buying vintage cars or antique furniture or whatever, jewelry. This is the big boys' playpen. And they decide how much something is going to be. Let's think about something. What was the little thing? Not Bitcoin. What's the little thing where they were? The little trinkets.
NFTs.
The NFTs and all that crap. Some of the stuff you look at, they say, $1 million? I wouldn't pay 10 cents for that crap. But somebody will.
Right.
And if you get into that right.
As long as you have a market.
When we do these auctions at certain golf tournaments, one tournament, a helmet signed by a particular person goes for $25,000. At the other tournament, it goes for $500.
Right.
Because the right clientele is not there.
Sure.
Hell, we went home. I had one of my helmets. I can just hear the jokes coming right now.
It's
one of my
really
helmets, I had a UL helmet and a Redskin helmet back in the day. The UL helmet went for about $10,000, $10,000, $12,000. The Redskin helmet, it went for about $2,500.
Because you were down in Lafayette.
Because I was in Lafayette,
yeah.
Louisiana.
Right.
You know,
I would add those are probably harder
here,
to get.
It might have switched.
Right.
You know? And it did fit, so it probably was my helmet.
All right, so I'm looking right now. I see a B. Mitch card on eBay for $105.
Hell, give it to me. I'll take it.
Seems like your...
Tell him, I got more cards.
Eagles cards are worth more than your Skins cards.
I don't know.
Is that a scarcity thing?
I don't know. I got more of my cards than any one person has, I would say.
Did you make a point to try to collect them? Or?
No, I just like people would send them to me. I kept them all. And then the lady in my neighborhood was a framer all on my wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got everything framed. I got a lot of stuff from Charlie Taylor as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I know people are really into it. They call it like breaking, where you break these packs open and see what you get. I think it's cool.
We did that for
Josh Harris, $500K is...
Like me, you
going out to dinner.
But
yeah.
Like, we did a command center. We did a show, and they had us breaking the packs open, and I came out with a Corey Dillon and a Jerry Rice.
Wow, clock killing Corey Dillon, dude. You know what I ended up watching the other day?
Yeah.
And this is just the depths of no sports on, and me being a football dork. Super Bowl 29 was on when the Niners just beat the hell out of the Chargers. Mm-hmm. But it was just funny, all the names, all the people. You know who was calling plays for the Chargers?
Who was that?
Ralph Friedgen.
Ralph what?
Yeah, he was up in the booth. They showed him. Stan Humphrey's a quarterback.
All right.
Natron Means and that Niners team.
Northeast Louisiana, Stan Humphrey's.
Dude, that Niners team was loaded.
I remember playing against Stan in college.
Oh, really?
Cooked him.
Did you?
Cooked him.
What was Stan like as a teammate? I mean, because
cool.
He was ripped back up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was cool as hell. But Stan was that he wanted to sit in that pocket, did not want to run at all.
Right.
Dropped back, put his feet in cement, and let it get dry, and he stood there. And he would throw it. But in college, that's all they did, too. But we would run that run and shoot on them. They didn't get a chance to get on the field.
When we come back, B. Mitch's favorite guest every week, Barstool Nate joins the program.
Ah. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.